Well, good morning and welcome to St. Phil Road Presbyterian Church. My name is Ben Walker. I'm the minister here. Hopefully you enjoyed watching our new countdown video. Thanks to Chris Pollock for putting that together. A reminder of some recent times past and maybe some hope for the future. And still in the meantime, we come together apart to worship in Jesus' name. Let me begin with some words from Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart, in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. We'll see a little later this morning more of the God who in flesh steps right into our lives, into the isolated pain and our demanding, pulled in too many directions, busyness, reaching out to us in our unholy mess. What grace and compassion he shows to us. And yet, let us never forget, the one who does this is the mighty King of heaven, glorious and majestic, worthy of all our praise. And it's there we begin as we sing together the splendor of the King. Thank you. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, the words of the psalm and the song remind us that you are great, that you are glorious, that you are majestic, that you are surrounded in splendor. How great is our God? They call us to ponder and meditate on your glory, to delight in you, to let our hearts sing. We think of your righteousness, your graciousness, how compassionate you are. Lord, we know it and we see it all in the wonderful person of Jesus, your Son, our Savior. Jesus, we praise you and we thank you. And yet, Lord, we confess that sometimes our hearts don't sing, how great is our God. And sometimes we don't remember your wonders and your works. And sometimes we feel weighed down. And we feel it's all a bit relentless. And we feel pulled in different directions. And we're frustrated. Sometimes we're a bit self-consumed. Great God, meet with us this morning. You're the God who reaches out and touches the sick and the broken. Lord, touch us this morning. Forgive us where we need to be forgiven. Heal us. Renew us. Bring new life to us. Lift our eyes to you once again as our one and only hope in all things. The Redeemer of your people, the faithful God of everlasting promise, the one to whom belongs eternal praise. Lord, move among us by your Spirit as we worship you. And may we praise you today and all of our days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We continue in prayer as we say together where we are, the Lord's Prayer, and the words will be up on the screen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Well, just a few announcements and pointers to things happening today and in the coming days, and things to be aware of. Life groups are on again tonight and this week. Hopefully you'll see details of those in the announcement sheet that you can download from the website, or you'll know they're on tonight and in the coming days this week. Also on tonight, Deborah Webster is doing a great online seminar for parents that Johnny and Jill have arranged. It's for parents of those who are in late primary right the way through to mid-late secondary school. It's from 7 o'clock tonight on Zoom, and it's all about digital resilience, and Deborah's done a lot of work and research on this, really helpful for thinking particularly about young people and social media. So if you haven't got the details of that yet, or you're not aware of that and you'd like to come, do contact Johnny for the entry code for that, and he'll get that to you. Come along to that 7 o'clock tonight. I said last week, the Presbyterian Herald is online and it's free for you to download and look at, but it's also a physical copy for all of those who have subscribed. And you can either pick that up from the hub if you come on Tuesdays or Fridays between 10 and 12, and you can come and pick that up. It's each one's individually wrapped for you to come and pick up. Or if that's a problem for you and you can't do that, do let Moni know. Give her a ring or email her in the church office, and she can arrange for it to be delivered to you. We got a letter this week from the International Meeting Point just to say thank you for all that we've provided to them. Let me read a little bit from it. It says, over the last few months, we've seen a very significant increase in the number of people coming into the centre in need of food, bedding and clothes. All those we help have fled religious or political persecution and are struggling to adapt to life and weather in Northern Ireland. The majority of those we've been able to help this winter come from Sudan, Eritrea, Yemen, Palestine, Iran, and Somalia. They've arrived with only the clothes on their backs. Thanks to your generosity, we have been able to provide clothing and bedding to many families. It's a joy to see these families leave with a smile on their faces. This also gives us an opportunity to share that this is only possible because Christians love them and want to share with them the love of Jesus in practical ways. And Keith, who runs the project, also notes they're able to carry on Zoom Bible studies at the moment, and new faces are joining them. So that's great to be part of that, and thank you for that. They're actually a little bit overwhelmed with the response of things they've got. So if you've got anything more ready to go, do bring it and drop it down here on Tuesday morning, and Derek will take the rest that we've got here, but then we'll perhaps hold off for a while until further notice. Now, we're wanting over the coming weeks and months to hear more from people serving Jesus in different ways in our congregation. Of course, we're all, in fact, serving Jesus and following him wherever he has placed us. But there's a number of people in particular roles that we want to support. And so this morning, Johnny McClune, who works for Youth for Christ, is going to share just a couple of minutes about what's going on at YFC and how we can pray. As he'll say, let me also point out that there'll be more on Wednesday night's prayer video. So you get a little taster now and more to hear about Johnny and YFC on Wednesday night's prayer video. So listen to Johnny now, tune back in on Wednesday night, and it'll be on the website, on the Wednesday prayer videos bit of the website, or on the YouTube channel to hear more then as well. But here's Johnny now.
Hey folks, so I'm going to be sharing a little bit on this week's Wednesday prayer video about what's going on at Youth for Christ and how you guys can be praying for us and for our young people. Youth ministry at the moment is hard, and we can see in the lives of young people, and we can read that 1 in 4 young people are struggling. They're struggling with the pressures of life, they're struggling with disconnection, with loneliness, uncertainty, anxiety and mental health. And for at-risk and marginalised young people who we work with at Youth for Christ, these pressures intensify the already difficult circumstances that they're dealing with, and they exacerbate risky behaviour. Please pray for our young people. Pray that God would comfort them and support them and would give them peace. Pray that they would know that they are seen, that they're loved, and that they have a purpose. At Youth for Christ, we're in those communities with young people, and we're offering them hope and love and transformation. This has been difficult to do at a safe social distance, but we continue to seek God's favour through the efforts of our staff. When the restrictions have allowed it, staff have pushed programmes online and gone out onto the streets more and been engaging and meeting with young people where they are. Please pray for our staff as they juggle furlough, as they juggle childcare, ever-changing restrictions, communities that are crying out for help. Pray that God gives them energy, that he strengthens them, that he gives them discernment and will choose how to work in this environment. Faith for Christ, we're not immune to the difficulties that the last year has presented, but God is continuing to work through all things for good. Recently, I've been reflecting on that truth from Romans 8:28, and I'm going to look at the passage a bit further on Wednesday night's prayer video. But what I've been thinking is that it doesn't mean that God works in spite of our circumstances, but rather we should be expectant of him to work through those circumstances that are difficult. We've seen God take circumstances that we are in that none of us would have chosen, and he's subverted them for his purposes in the lives of young people and in the communities that we work with and who we've met and who we've had opportunities to discuss life and faith with. Please pray for us. Please pray for me and the national team as we seek to plan for the future and to support the local ministries. And please tune in on Wednesday to hear more about what's going on and how to pray further. Thanks.
Well, thanks, Johnny. And do be praying for Johnny and YFC, and do tune in on our Wednesday night to hear more and pray more. Well, as we continue to work our way through Mark's Gospel, this morning in a moment we're going to hear the rest of chapter 1. We'll get up to the end of chapter 1. But this coming week, the recordings online will take you right up to the very end of Mark's Gospel in 30 days. Do keep going and reading and listening to those, whatever point you are at. Even if you haven't started yet, start listening or reading Mark's Gospel. But now we're going to hear Alison Mullen read to us Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 45.
The reading is taken from Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 45. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere.
Well, before we think about that passage a little more, as it begins to work on our hearts and minds, we're going to sing again. Be still, for the presence of the Lord. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord God, we still ourselves, our hearts and our minds before you. And recognize that you are present with us. Lord, in our homes. You are with us by your Spirit. And you want to speak to us. You want to be at work in our lives. Lord, as we hear and reflect on your word, we pray that you would make us open to receive from you in faith as we have sung. Be open to you ministering among us by your grace, being at work in us as you would in our lives, in our situations. So Lord, help us to be still. Our minds to be open. Help us to hear you and our hearts ready to receive you. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you saw during the week the Archbishop of Canterbury on the television. He was on Breakfast TV and other places, I'm sure, too. But he was asked about how we respond to this statistic of 100,000 people dead in the UK because of COVID. And he talked about thinking not simply of the 100,000 en masse as one big group, but about 100,000 individuals, each a person with a story, each with a family. And there were pictures and there were individual stories on the BBC to go alongside that. The same day, I think, was Holocaust Memorial Day. And I've heard that same point made before. That on one hand, we can talk about the headline figures, the general overview, the millions who died, man's inhumanity to man. And there are big ways of expressing what went on over that period of history. But it's also powerful for us humans to hear individual stories. I remember hearing one media consultant once said, "Don't just give me the Holocaust, give me Anne Frank." Reading and reflecting on that one little girl and her experience has powerful insight in itself. And so we often seem to get both the general overview, which teaches about the big picture, but also insightful personal stories, which have the power to move and shape us. Watch how any news program gives you both. That combination is there in the second half of Mark chapter 1, which we heard read. As Mark moves us along with Jesus from the synagogue where we were last time and further into Jesus' now growing ministry, we get a general overview of him proclaiming the kingdom, but also some kingdom insights from some very personal, insightful stories. Let's begin with that kingdom overview. The personal stories we'll come back to, but they are both of healings from sickness. And Jesus, having driven out an evil spirit in the synagogue, also shows that he has power to cure people totally from their illnesses. So a woman goes from having a fever 1 minute to up and making the tea the next. No need for rest or recuperation or rehab in between. And a man goes from leprosy affecting his skin and his place in society 1 minute to a clean bill of health the next and back in the community. Mark shows us more and more of the extent of Jesus' unique kingly authority in his teaching over evil and now over sickness too. And as the chapter goes on, Mark gives us some general overviews summarizing Jesus at work like this. So we read in verse 34 about the crowded house later that night with him healing many and driving out demons. And then in verses 38 and 39, preaching throughout the synagogues in Galilee and driving out demons. Mark is building a big picture of Jesus proclaiming the kingdom of God, a general overview. And as one helpful author I was reading put it, there are a number of things we see in this big picture Jesus bringing together. First, we see Jesus combining words and actions. So he's preaching, that's what he came for, verse 38. People hear his authoritative words. But alongside that, he's also healing and driving out demons. Meeting people with action at their point of need. So it's not words, but no loving actions. And it's not action, but no clear message. Jesus' powerful preaching is adorned also with illustrations of God's power and love. And we see as Jesus combines words and actions, he's ministering to body and soul. Now, the body matters to Jesus. God made us physical flesh. Jesus came in flesh, a human like you and me. So we're not just basically untouchable souls. And sickness, harm, death, it's an aberration to God and his good world. Jesus has come to make that right, to make a new creation. But he's also not simply about fixing the material. He's interested in our very being. our souls, our place with him forever. So his powerful teaching calls people to repent, to stop living the way they're living, and to believe, to put their whole and lasting trust in what he has to say and do. And as Jesus combines words and actions ministering to body and soul, he is bringing together heaven and earth. We saw in the first week, God ripped open the barrier between heaven and earth at Jesus' baptism and would do at his death. It bookends Mark's gospel. Here Jesus, as he brings words and actions and ministers to body and soul, gives an illustration, a foretaste of the kingdom of God, what he's ultimately about and proclaiming, the bringing of earth and heaven together in newness and fullness. So evil totally overcome and done away with, all brokenness made whole, hearts and lives turned fully to God. It's as if Jesus is saying, let me, the kingly Son of God, tell you and show you what the kingdom of God is like. Now, this is a special and unique ministry and time. We can't expect to see everyone healed now where we are in the same way that Jesus brought about in that particular Galilean ministry then. But yet, with God's power by the Spirit of Jesus, and with eyes open for what God can do, and praying as we have and as we do, that your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we follow Jesus in sharing powerful words and loving actions, in ministering to body and soul in this world. And God willing, seeing glimpses of the kingdom of heaven even now on earth as we await its full realization. Jesus combines words and actions ministering to soul and body as he brings together heaven and earth, and we follow him in that. Understandably, though, with all this going on, Jesus' ministry is having a huge impact. Mark describes the whole of Capernaum bringing their sick and demon-possessed to Jesus that very evening after he heals Simon's mother-in-law. And then they come looking for him the next morning. And later, when he tries to keep quiet what he's done for the man with leprosy, yet the news spreads further still. I heard the actor Will Smith being interviewed, and he was saying he hasn't yet managed to travel to a country where he wasn't recognized immediately. Jesus, like a famous celebrity, can no longer enter a Galilean town openly without getting overwhelmed. So he stayed outside, out of the way. And yet people still found him and flocked to him. We're only at the end of chapter 1, and Mark isn't long in charting the meteoric rise in Jesus' popularity. But of course, what this also shows us is the demanding nature of Jesus' ministry. People are crowding to the door of where he's staying. He's traveling around preaching from place to place. He's staying away, but people are still coming to him. If Jesus had a mobile phone, it would have been pinging all the time. Maybe some of us feel life is quite demanding at the moment. Even despite this being lockdown, many people may be feeling they're pulled in a whole number of different directions. And that is sometimes how life is. It was here for Jesus. And you know, dreaming of a quiet routine, dreaming of what you thought lockdown might have looked like, doesn't quite work, does it? However challenging lockdown has been to some busyness. A challenge for me in this past year, as I've shared before, has come in this line. Don't just do something. Sit there. When life is busy, when it seems a bit relentless, one temptation is just to keep trying to do more. In the face of all that we could do, we don't always stop to think what it is we should do. And so here's the first of two kingdom insights I want us to pick up from a personal story that Mark shares with us. Notice something about Jesus in the demanding busyness that surrounds him. At the heart of this passage, we see something particular Jesus does, something he does for us, and that we would do well to follow him in doing. Verse 35. Early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus heads off on his own, away from everyone, to pray. And here's the insight. It's about the importance of spending time with the Father. Now, we maybe find it a bit odd that Jesus needed what we sometimes call a quiet time. But here he is showing what it is for a human to be fully dependent on God, the Father. I take it that this is time that kept Jesus refreshed, renewed, at one with his Father, affirmed in his identity that we saw at the beginning of Mark, my dearly loved son. Affirmed in what he is to be about, what he should be doing in the midst of all he could be doing. I say this because Jesus comes away from this time saying in verse 38, this is what I'm called for, and heads off preaching. He could have stuck around in Capernaum and kept healing. People were still after him. He could have got pulled off course in all the demands upon him. But this time renews him in his calling and identity. And we see Jesus is sharp on wanting people to know rightly who he is. One of the factors behind regularly telling people to keep quiet about him is so that what spreads is not inaccurate rumor in the crowds, instead of vital truth about who he is. We thank Jesus that he didn't get distracted from what he came to do for us with all the temptations of what else he might have done. We thank Jesus that he remembered that he was the Son dependent on his Father, come for us. We thank Jesus that he took time and space to be renewed and refreshed and equipped in conversation with his Father. And may we not let the demanding nature of life draw us away from being clear about who Jesus is, our King no less, about who we are, his followers, and God's loved children, and about our calling to live for him. May we realize, in the light of all we could be doing, and maybe the demands upon us, the vital importance of time spent with our Father. For renewing, for equipping, for strength, for wisdom. Don't just do something, sit there. If Jesus recognized his need to, who do I think I am that I don't need to? But there's another kingdom insight that I find striking from both of the personal stories that bookend our passage. From verse 29, we see the story of Simon's mother-in-law. Now, we might remark on Jesus' goodness at taking the time to see her personally after the wearying events in the synagogue earlier, and the goodness he shows seeing everyone else later into the night. But it's the touch. It's the taking of her hand and helping her up that's so striking here. Here's authoritative Jesus, as we've seen him already in the synagogue. And his account in Luke's account, remarks how Jesus heals this woman with his words. But Mark here particularly makes mention of this touch of Jesus. A powerful, divine, human touch. Powerful in terms of its healing effect. Powerful in terms of the compassion it expresses. This is Jesus, who in all the busyness and demands of life that surrounds, is always prepared to reach out to you and me in our fevered state. But now look at verse 40 and the second personal story that Mark shares with us. Maybe to grasp the story, imagine, if you can possibly for a moment, there being some sort of dreaded infectious disease that you could catch from being in close contact with someone and breathing in droplets that come from their own breath. And so imagine, therefore, people in society would keep socially distant, and any suspected sufferer would be distanced from them, and they'd be obsessed with being clean. Well, of course, I'm messing a bit, and leprosy, a skin disease, is quite different in many ways from coronavirus. But reading such a story at this time, we can feel better than ever, can't we? Not simply the physical effects, but the social impact of leprosy in those days. What it meant for a person to be unclean, kept at a social distance, untouchable, without family, without contact, without a vaccine, without hope. But this man sees hope in Jesus. If you are willing, you can make me clean. He throws himself in desperation at Jesus. And Jesus is willing. Filled with compassion, we read, a passionate anger at the sickness, brokenness, and its consequences, a passionate love for the man. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. In a world where cleanliness was everything, and you stayed away and they stayed away, Jesus crossed boundaries to touch this man. The glorious King of Heaven comes right to the destitute desperation of this sick man and lays a hand on him. In fact, touching this man, making him clean, restoring him to his community, which is what the priest's clean bill of health achieved, that cost Jesus. Not just the risk of leprosy, of course, touching a leper made you unclean. But there's a point made so well in that book that many of the children are reading, the best news ever. And it's this. This man had been out in lonely places, socially isolated because of his leprosy. But now he was brought back home among his people. And the cost for Jesus was a swap. Because as a result of what this meant to this man, Jesus now found himself out in lonely places, in verse 45. There's the power of the divine human touch, filled with compassion for you and me. The touch of Jesus that brings us profound depth of healing, that brings us in from our wretched isolation, but at the cost of Jesus taking our place. And just remember that touch, because touch or lack of it is what we lament so much at the moment, isn't it? I'm tactile. I have to be wary about what's not appreciated or appropriate. And yet we're all missing touch, aren't we? The shake of a hand, a pat on an arm, a hug. Of course, we refrain out of love so that others won't suffer, but it's not what God ultimately made us for. Look at God in flesh reach out his hand to a woman and a man here in love. Some people, some of us, haven't had human touch for far too long. Untouched even through nursing home windows and at front doors. To be honest, there's been one or two cases back in what we might call the better months of last year of people being at home and so close to dying and the risk of COVID so minimal or unimportant in the grand scheme of their things that I've carefully gone to them and I've read and I've prayed with them and I've held their hand. And that has felt so simply but profoundly powerful. And it's important. Here Jesus, God made flesh, shows that human contact is crucial. It's part of what a restored and new kingdom involves. So remember the power of this divine touch and our own lack of touch Because when this all begins to blow over, I fear we'll have lost the habit and we'll still warily stay away. And of course, we should be sensible, and of course, we shouldn't put others in danger, and we should be wise about ourselves, and we're not those reckless people who say we can do what we like and God will keep us safe. But may we never let COVID take from our future the lasting importance of touch, of human contact. As we follow the one who is God made flesh, we are people of human contact who show God's compassion as we draw near to others. So remember this touch, and as you think about others too. Others we might normally stay away from. Others we might normally place on the margins of society. Jesus reached out at a cost, yes, but filled with compassion to touch the untouchable. Reaching out a hand to the hurting, to the marginalized, to those who it seems even religion has cast out. That never compromises our godliness. It is the expression of it. Jesus brings together words and action, body and soul, heaven and earth. So even as we live demanding lives on earth, let us take time to be renewed by our Father in heaven. And let us be open to receive and hold out to others that powerful, divine human touch. Neil's going to lead us in our prayers.
Good morning. As we come to pray this morning, let's first take a moment to be still, just as Jesus did in that passage from Mark chapter 1. Let's follow his example to take time away from other distractions in our life, to take time to remember that the God we approach now in prayer is the same God who made everything in the beginning, the same God who loves us with a never stopping, never giving up love, and is the same God who gave everything to win us back. Let's be still and know that he is God. And now let us pray. Creator God, thank you that you know us. You know that we can feel overwhelmed sometimes when we think of all the things that we could pray about. But we thank you that you know what we need, and you know what our world needs, more than we know it ourselves, and before we even have to ask. As we pray to you, God, help our trust in you to grow, help our worries to fade as we hand these things over to you. We thank you for the hope and for the joy that comes from everything we hear of vaccines in various stages of development and deployment. We praise you that it is a literal answer to prayer to be at this stage after the past year. And God, we continue to pray for an easing of the tensions between different nations in our part of the world about production and supply of the vaccine. We also pray, God, that the supply of the vaccines would increase in such a way that would take away not only those concerns between these richer nations in the West, but also allow a just way and a speedy way of sharing this supply of vaccines to every part of our world, not only to those countries that can afford to have themselves near the top of the list. And God, we pray for the myriad of ways that our church family and our wider circle of people that we all know have been affected by this pandemic and by lockdown. Each of us will have had our own struggles, God, our own challenges, and you will know those, whether those are sickness or bereavement associated with this virus, busyness and worry of working on the front line of healthcare, whether it's feeling at risk by continuing to have to work through the situation, money worries, joblessness, feeling lonely or isolated, the stress of dealing with online teaching or learning, or changes to exams and our future plans. God, whatever our experience, whatever our difficulties, please be in the centre of our pain and bring healing to those. And even as we deal with the pain and frustrations of being locked down in our own homes, God, We thank you for the blessings that we do have in our homes and our families. We thank you for the privilege it is to have a warm bed of our own, to have enough food each week that we can buy in the shops, to have enough clothes to wear. We thank you for the work of Storehouse and International Meeting Point. Help us to continue to be generous in our support of these ministries and help their work to continue to bless those who need it most. We pray for those in and associated with our congregation who are involved in mission, whether the staff team in church, those volunteering alongside them, our missionaries abroad, or those working in other organisations in your name locally. We pray for those people that they are aiming to reach with your message, whether they are young or old, here or in other parts of the world. We pray that those people would know that they are seen by you, that they have a purpose, and that they are loved by you. Thank you that you hear all our prayers, God, and thank you that you have the power to answer them and to do more than we could ever ask or imagine. Amen.
My Jesus, my Saviour, Lord, there is none like you. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen.
Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Oh, sorry, you've been not. You have to.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you.